Anyway, this morning is thinking biblically about dinosaurs, and that's what we need to do as Christians, test all things against what the Bible teaches. And first question is, why do we want to speak about dinosaurs? That's an interesting question. Why do we want to speak about dinosaurs in the church? Well, children love dinosaurs, don't they? Where do you want your children to learn about dinosaurs? Discovery Channel, Disney, and all these other channels that teach things that are directly opposed to God's Word, and that's how they teach dinosaurs? Or would you rather have them learn from the source called God's Word? That's what we need to make sure, that our children are trained up in the way they should go with God's Word as their authority. So, now, real serious question. Did dinosaurs really exist? They did. How do we know they really existed? We find their bones. And we find their bones all over the world. You might even find them in your own backyard. Anybody have a dog here? Have they found any dinosaur bones yet? Keep digging. No, don't dig in the backyard. Okay. Well, our first real serious question here. How many different kinds of dinosaurs have we found? Now, this would be very important when we get to the Noah's Ark piece here. Now, I'll give you three choices, and my rule is this. If you do not vote for one of these, you will be doing push-ups until I finish this part of the talk. How many think we found about 50 to 100 different kinds of dinosaurs? Okay, some people are just putting your hands up because you think it's the right thing to do, so you won't have to do push-ups. Is that right? How many think we found about 700 different kinds of dinosaurs? I still need to see a lot of hands there. How many think we found about 5,000 dinosaurs? Okay, there they come. Well, the correct answer is only about 50 to 100. That is the correct answer. We've known this all along as creationists. Even the evolutionists now are starting to figure this out and believe only about 50 to 100. Because when we find dinosaur bones, they don't come with a name attached to them. And what we find, a lot of these dinosaurs look very similar in structure. Just because we give them a different name does not mean they're a different kind. For example, we have dogs. We have little bitty dogs, medium-sized dogs, big dogs, fluffy-haired dogs, short-haired dogs, but what are they? All dogs. In other words, God has created tremendous genetic variability within kind. Just look at the person next to you. Don't they look very variable? I love to cause commotion here. Right. So we believe a lot of these different dinosaur kinds are really not different. They're the same kind, just maybe some more mature than the other ones. It's only about 50 to 100. Now, the common story we hear on the television, the media, and the press is dinosaurs evolved into existence about 220 million years ago and died out about 65 million years ago, long before man was here. Well, if that is true, how are we going to fit dinosaurs into the Bible? Notice I said, if that is true. How do we fit the dinosaurs in there? Well, let's see what the Bible has to say. Isn't that interesting? We can go to the Bible and get our answers. On day one, God created the earth and the light. Day two, the atmosphere. Day three, the land, plants, and the seas. Day four, the sun, moon, and stars. Day five, the sea creatures and flying creatures. What did he create on day six? He made animals, the land animals, and people. Notice that. Land animals and people. Are these land animals? Yes. Were these land animals? Yes. So what is the Bible teaching? The Bible clearly teaches in Genesis chapter 1, people and dinosaurs lived at the same time. No other day did God create land animals. It was day 6, the same day as Adam and Eve. So that seems to go directly against the common story. So let's look at some things about dinosaurs, some basic characteristics. What were they like? Anybody here like to put things into groups? How many of your children like to put things into groups? Like your books or your toys, your parents? Sorry. Yes. Did you know if you're putting things in groups, you are already thinking like a scientist? Because that's what scientists like to do. We like to put things into groups. And we put dinosaurs into groups. One group of dinosaurs is called the theropods. Those are the two-footed meat eaters like T-Rex. Now, is anybody here a two-footed meat eater? Are you a theropod? Not quite. You also have to be a dinosaur, but you might be on your way. Another group are the sauropods. Those are the four-footed plant eaters, such as Apatosaurus. And we have other ways of grouping dinosaurs, but these are just two of them, theropods and sauropods. Now, how big were dinosaurs? Well, the average-sized dinosaur was only about the size of a small pony. Not all these bones, all these dinosaurs got real big. The average size, about the size of a small pony. One of the things we believe to know about dinosaurs is they had the potential to continue to stop growing for their entire life. They continued to grow for as long as they lived. How would you like to be 15 years old and 15 feet tall? Might not be so good, because when you got so big you couldn't fit in your house anymore, then you have to sleep outside with all the bugs and the snakes. Not a good idea. Now let's take a look at some of these large ones. Seismosaurus and Argentinosaurus. About 100 feet long and weighed about 60 tons. Oh, hold on right there. Has anybody ever weighed a dinosaur? No. So how do we know 60 tons? Well, we don't really. What we do is we have to find evidence and take our best guess. We find most of the bones. We take a guess how much muscle mass they had, guess how much skin they had, look at some modern reptiles, then we take our best scientific guess of how much these creatures weighed. They may have weighed 60 tons, maybe only 40 tons, or maybe more. But this is our best scientific guess, and that is okay to do, so long as we qualify it that way and don't put it in as a fact. Now, here's what some of these very large dinosaurs look like. Ultrasaurus, Supersaurus, Brachiosaurus. They really don't look that different, do they? Is it possible this could have been just one kind of dinosaur? Very well could have been. But some of them got very large. You see that arrow pointing to a man there. That's how big those dinosaurs would have been compared to us. Some of them did get very large. How would you like to have one of these in your backyard? How many want one in your backyard now? Not a good thing. Well, here's a picture of Argentinosaurus, what we believe it may have looked like. Weighed about 60 tons and about 100 feet long. Well, we're pretty accurate on the length because we find enough bones. But remember, the 60 tons is only our best guess. How would you like to play games around dinosaurs? Not a good idea. That's what happens when we play golf on Sunday rather than go to church. Just remember that. But some of these dinosaurs did get very large. Here's an actual dinosaur footprint with a small child sitting in it. So some did get very large. But not all dinosaurs were big. Here's a small dinosaur. Now, I need a volunteer. Anybody want to volunteer to pronounce the name of this dinosaur? Anybody want to try the name of this dinosaur? Yes, right there. Perfect, Compsognathus. That is one for the youth, zero for the adults. Losers do push-ups, don't they? Yes, I like competition. Compsognathus, that's very good. How big was this dinosaur? Only weighed about 8 pounds. You could take that dinosaur and just kind of hold it here and walk around with it, couldn't you? Not a good idea. Very scaly, got long, sharp claws, and probably doesn't like you. So not a good one to hold. Now, anybody know the name of this dinosaur? Stegosaurus. 2-0. Wow. I like this. Stegosaurus. Now, here's a dinosaur God created, weighs over 5,000 pounds. Way over 5,000 pounds. And here we are weighing maybe 50, 60, 70, and over 100 pounds. How would you like it if somebody came up to you and said, "Wow, you must have the brains the size of a stegosaurus brain." How many would say thank you? Not a good idea. This creature only had the brains the size of a walnut. So here's a creature God created, weighed over 5,000 pounds, has a brain about the size of a walnut. Here we are, 50, 60, 70, 100 pounds, and we have a brain this size. Who do you think God loves a little bit more? Aren't you glad he gave us the brains? Anybody know the name of this one? Wow, this is pretty good. It's getting to be a runaway. Triceratops. You only get 1 point on this. Triceratops. This creature weighed up to about 14,000 pounds. How would you like to have one of these creatures chasing you? Not a good idea. Some of their horns got up to almost 3 feet long. Now, I have a serious question. This might be the most serious question you get all day. If a Tyrannosaurus Rex was chasing you, could you outrun it? I got some no's and I have some yeses. Well, let's look at this. Has anybody ever seen a dinosaur run? No. So how do we know how fast they were? Again, we have to look for clues. We find the dinosaur bones. We take a guess how much muscle mass they had, the skin. Look at their anatomy. We find dinosaur trackways, fossilized footprints, measure how far apart they are. Look at modern reptiles. Then we take a guess at how fast they were. Some of our guesses, Stegosaurus, about 15 miles an hour. Tyrannosaurus Rex, about 20 miles an hour. Anybody watch those Jurassic Park movies? In one of those movies, they had a T-Rex chasing a Jeep going maybe 40, 50 miles an hour. Folks, that is 100% Hollywood. Has nothing to do with science. We believe at top speed, they can only go about 20 miles an hour. The fastest runners in the world, the Olympic champions, go about 30 miles an hour at top speed. Triceratops, about 20 miles an hour. Modern creatures like the horse and the lion, about 45 miles an hour. And the fastest land animal, the cheetah, can reach speeds up to 65 miles an hour, but only for a very short period of time, and then they get tired and start slowing down. So the moral here is, if you're not going to be an Olympic champion sprinter and you're being chased by a T-Rex, you better hide because you're going to become food. So don't try and outrace them. Yes. Okay. How many like brontosaurus? Anybody here like brontosaurus? Can I give you some very sad news this morning? This couldn't be sad news. No such dinosaur ever existed. There was no such thing as a brontosaurus. Is that sad? That is really sad. Because this is one of the nice ones. What happened? Well, scientists found all the bones of a dinosaur except a head. They needed a head. Just happened to have a head over here, fossilized head. Put it on this dinosaur bone, said, wow, this is a brand new dinosaur. We're going to call this the brontosaurus. Then they found the correct head that went with the bones. And when they put the correct head on, they found out it was not a new dinosaur. It was just another Apatosaurus. That is sad. There goes one of the nice ones. How would you like to have somebody put the wrong head on you? Aren't you glad God gave you the right head? Well, wait a minute. How do you know you got the right head? Yeah, never mind. Who knows the name of this one? T-Rex. T-Rex. I have not seen the... Well, you adults. I hope you're ready to do your push-ups this morning. That's why we're giving you a 15-minute break between this and the service. T-Rex. Now, this is a pretty vicious-looking creature. The largest T-Rex we ever found is about 20 feet tall and about 40 feet long with its tail. Now, they gave this largest T-Rex a name, just like we have a name like Mike, Bill, Bob, or Mary, or Catherine. Does anybody know the name they gave this largest T-Rex? Sue. There's my dinosaur experts right there. Sue. You know what that means? The largest, most vicious creature to ever live on this planet was a girl. Does that explain things for us? Yes. Now, the T-Rex, Tyrannosaurus Rex, they had very large teeth. Some of their teeth got up to 6 inches long. And some of them got rather large, and their heads were up to almost 5 feet long. Did you know that's long enough to fit 2 second graders in there? Do I have any parents that want to try? Yes. But when we look at this T-Rex, does anybody feel sorry for it? Well, I have a big job to do here then. Look at that T-Rex's arms. They are right here. They are so short they can never scratch their head. And they're so short they couldn't even reach their mouth with their food. Now think about this. Here's this T-Rex, 5 foot long head, short little arms, running around, and trips and falls. And can't use its arms to get up. So I will now give you your first homework assignment of the day. This is Sunday school, so we can do homework. Now, this is not to be done in the church, not to be done at school unless you're homeschooled, because that's your home too. I want you to get down on your back, put your arms right here, and try to get up. Some of you will get up. Some of you will be there until next week. Now, how many feel sorry for this T-Rex? You see, I did a pretty good job there. Good. Now, we watched those Jurassic Park movies, and they made this dinosaur very famous, the Velociraptor. There are different kinds of raptors out there, but the one they chose was the Velociraptor. And in those movies, they had this Velociraptor 8 to 10 feet tall and smarter than Einstein. First of all, we have no clue how smart this creature was. We also know that reptiles are not very smart today. But the real Velociraptor was only about 3 to 4 feet tall. What you need to understand is when you see dinosaurs on television, you see them in the movies, that is Hollywood. The Jurassic Park movies were only about 1% true science and about 99% fiction Hollywood. So be careful where you're learning about science. Now, when did dinosaurs live? This is a big part. When did they really live? Again, the standard story is died out about 65 million years ago, long before man was here. If we believe that, we have a very big problem with the Bible and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? When we look at the timeline, if we're believing dinosaurs lived millions of years before man, then the question is, what was going on before Adam and Eve were here? What was going on before the fall? Death, pain, and disease. Wow. In other words, a belief in dinosaurs dying out before man was here is a belief in death before sin. And it is also a belief that Jesus Christ or God called cancer and death very good. Because we find signs of cancer in these bones. And all that would have been taking place before the fall, and God would have called all that very good at the end of his creation. We have a major problem with that now in the Bible. Death and cancer become very good, and there was death before sin. So why did Jesus Christ have to go to the cross now if it was already in destruction? But when I read the Bible, it clearly states this. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. That is day six of creation. He made the land animals, and he made Adam and Eve. The Bible, again, clearly teaches people and dinosaurs lived at the same time. Is that a problem scientifically? Absolutely not. It is only a problem for evolutionism, but not for science. So is there any scientific evidence that really supports people and dinosaurs lived at the same time? Not that we need it, because we have the authority of God's word. But he has left us a lot of evidence on this. And first thing we need to understand, modern scientists did not know what dinosaurs were until the 1800s. We didn't even start putting their bones together until the 1800s. So any pictures or descriptions of dinosaur-like creatures before the 1800s could be strong evidence people saw dinosaurs alive. Is the word dinosaur in the Bible? No, it is not. It was not invented until 1841 by Sir Richard Owen. But maybe there are other words in the Bible that describe dinosaur-like creatures. So let's take a look at some evidence. There is a picture that resembles a dinosaur. This is what we call a petroglyph, canyon wall painting or carving. This was done long before the 1800s. And it exactly resembles a dinosaur and no other living creature. How did somebody know to draw this picture if they never saw a dinosaur alive? Well, that's easy, Mike. Clip art. Wow, yes. Maybe they got lucky. Well, here's another one. That doesn't look like any living creature today, but it does exactly resemble a dinosaur. We find these petroglyphs all over the world. There's one in Arizona. Again, only resembles a dinosaur and no other living creature. And there's one in Utah. I'll darken it up a bit. Exactly resembling a dinosaur. How did all these people know to draw these pictures that exactly resemble dinosaurs if man never saw them alive? This is pretty good evidence, isn't it? Anybody been to Northern England? Nobody? Or anybody raise their hand? Okay, so I have to tell the truth since somebody's been there. Okay. I was over there a couple years ago. There's a cathedral over there called the Carlisle Cathedral. It was built in the 1200s. In your history lesson, that's long before the 1800s. You go into that cathedral, and like we have a lot of aisles here, there are a lot of aisles in the Carlisle Cathedral. But there's one very special aisle you go down, and there's a carpet there. And that carpet is covering up the tomb of Bishop Bell, who was buried there in 1496. You lift that carpet up, and going around Bishop Bell's tomb is a large brass ring about this size. And carved into that brass ring are pictures of animals and dinosaurs from the 1400s. I'd say the evidence is mounting. The Bible is true, and evolutionism is false. Let's go to Cambodia. That man is pointing to carvings on some columns from the 1200s. Let me show you what he's pointing to. Carvings of Stegosaurus. That is a very strange-looking creature. How would anybody know to make a carving of a Stegosaurus if they never saw one alive? And remember, we didn't even put the bones together until the 1800s. I think the evidence is overwhelming. But now let's come to the best evidence. A few years ago, scientists were out looking for dinosaur bones, and they found some T-Rex bones. And these bones were too big and heavy to carry out. So they had to break the bones. And when they broke these T-Rex bones, something amazing was discovered. Still on this T-Rex bone was soft, elastic dinosaur tissue. This tissue was so soft, you can actually take it and stretch it and it would come back together again. Let me show you some pictures of real dinosaur tissue today. Looks a little bit like chocolate pudding, doesn't it? How many are going to have chocolate pudding for lunch now? Boy, I just mess everything up, don't I? Now, this tissue, what did the evolutionists do? Well, it was the evolutionists that discovered this. And for the first part of this, they tried to hide the evidence, but then it got out. And the first explanation was contamination, but we've ruled that out now. So the only explanation they're sticking with is this, and see if this sounds very scientific. There is some unknown process that preserves soft tissue for 65 million years. I think the evolutionists have retreated from science today. You can actually take this tissue and squeeze it and squeeze out little microscopic structures like red blood cells. Wow. But that's not the only finds. May 2009, they found a hadrosaur. What did they find in that? Proteins and other blood vessels. Deemed to be 80 million years old. Folks, proteins break down real fast. The only story they're sticking with is, we didn't know this could survive for 80 million years. This is anti-science now. Just recently, they found a mummified dinosaur, fossilized, so well preserved, the skin is still in three-dimensional. The entire dinosaur was found with all the skin still there. How could that happen? Let's take a look at some of the things that have to happen in order to preserve this. Number one, you have to escape your predators and scavengers or they're going to eat you up and you won't be there. You have to avoid degradation by weather and water. A chemical process had to mineralize the tissue before bacteria. In other words, you had to be buried rapidly to keep the scavengers away and keep the oxygen out. The remains had to survive for 67 million years undamaged. That is incredible to think that all that could happen. But it has. But it hasn't been that long. You see, the evolutionists do not have a good story for dinosaurs anymore. These are the things we need to be training our youth on. Real science, not just evolution. So the scientific evidence does support the Bible. We have nothing to be ashamed of. We should never be ashamed of God's word. It is man's opinion that can be wrong, but never God's word. We can trust it. So are dinosaurs mentioned in the Bible? Well, again, the word dinosaur was not invented until 1841, but we do have some good references to dinosaurs in the Bible. For example, Job chapter 40, verses 15 through 18. God is describing a creature to Job, and he says, "Behold now behemoth, which I made with thee, eats grass as an ox." Now, what's being described here is a plant eater eating grass. That means this is not an alligator. Why? What do alligators eat? Us. So this is not an alligator. We're talking about a plant eater. He moves his tail like a cedar. A cedar is a large tree. So we got a plant eater with a big tail. His bones are as strong as pieces of brass. His bones are like bars of iron. And then God says, he is the chief of the ways of God, maybe indicating this was one of the largest creatures he ever made. Now, what kind of a creature is being described here? Let's start with a tail, a big tail. Are we looking at an elephant here? No, that's not what elephants look like. Are we describing a hippopotamus then? No. What kind of a tail does a hippopotamus have? A little bitty twig back there. Now, the unfortunate thing here is this. You open up the Bibles, and you look at the bottom of the page, and many of the commentaries will call this creature a hippopotamus. I think that's an embarrassment when they do that. This is not an elephant. It is not a hippopotamus. We believe it's more of a creature like this. We don't know how happy it was, but this is what we believe is being described here, because the Bible does explicitly state dinosaurs and people lived at the same time. Then there's another strange thing in the book of Job, chapter 41. Out of his mouth go burning lamps and sparks of fire leap out. Now, what kind of a creature does that sound like? A fire-breathing dragon. Now, wait a minute. Have we found an error in the Bible now? Because has anybody ever seen a real fire-breathing dragon? Not counting Hollywood. Now, let's talk about this for a moment. If there really were fire-breathing dragons, do they have to be great big? Could they be just this big and be a fire-breathing dragon? How about this big? How about this big? Would anybody be afraid of a dragon this big? No, I just step on it, right? But in this country today lives a real type of dragon. They live, we find a lot of them, in the state of California, where we find lots of things. This creature is called a bombardier beetle. This beetle's 1/2 inch long. And when the predator approaches this bombardier beetle to eat it, this beetle shoots out 212 degrees liquid fire. Let me show you some pictures of this creature here. Sparks of fire coming out of this creature, 212 degrees. How does this creature do this? It does not have a furnace or any matches in there. It's got two storage tanks. One storage tank has some chemicals, hydroquinone, hydrogen peroxide. You know what happens when you mix those two chemicals together? Nothing. Then it's got another little storage tank where it has some inhibitors and some enzymes in there. Anybody here have enzymes in you? Good, because if you don't, you're dead. They're a very special kind of protein that speed things up in your body. That creature opens the door, shoves the chemicals in with the enzymes, and shoots out 212 degrees liquid fire. Now, if a little bitty beetle can do this, is it also possible another creature that lived in the past called Leviathan could do this? Yes. See, if you say no, you're not being scientific anymore, because we know it is possible. We have the observational evidence for us. So once again, the Bible remains true. It is not a story. It is real history. And that's the way we need to teach it. Now, we're not saying Leviathan was a bombardier beetle, but some other kind of creature that could do a similar thing, because all it is a matter of getting the right chemicals. Now, what happened to the dinosaurs? We know when they were created, day 6 of creation, lived with people. What happened to them? Well, that's a very easy. They died. Any other questions? Pretty simple, isn't it? Well, wait a minute, Mike. How did they die? Well, some people believe they all starved to death. Some people believe they ate too much. Some people believe they changed into birds. This is what they teach in our public schools today. This is what they teach in our universities today. That dinosaurs evolved into birds. How did this happen? Well, their story is this. Some of these small little dinosaurs went up into the trees, out onto the branches, jumped off the branches, and then over many generations grew feathers and learned to fly. Now I'm going to give you your second homework assignment. This is going to be a lengthy one. What I want you to do for the rest of your life is this. You can jump up and down. You can think like a bird. Will you ever grow feathers? Absolutely not. Just doing this, jumping up and down, you will never grow feathers. And you know what else? Reptiles jumping off branches will never grow feathers either. Because what happens when a reptile jumps off a branch? Right. And they don't survive that. And you know what we know about dead things? They do not evolve. Jumping off branches, doing this with your arms, does not affect the DNA of the reproductive cells. Nothing will ever be inherited. This is non-science being taught in our schools to protect evolution. Folks, we need to get back to teaching real science in our schools today. We have a problem with the education system. And you look at all these books. Here's National Geographic, so desperate they've now put feathers on T-Rex. We've not found any of those. Those are all pictures drawn by artists. Here's another book I purchased just because half the book had pictures of dinosaurs with feathers. We have not found one single dinosaur with feathers today. Not one. Our children are being deceived. Now let me show you what they're trying to do in the textbooks. Here's a modern biology textbook. And they're going to talk about a creature called Archaeopteryx. This is their famous transition from reptile to bird. And here's what they teach in the schools. Ask many paleontologists what a bird is, and they will reply with a grin, a hot-blooded dinosaur with feathers. The first fossil ever found of an early bird-like animal is called Archaeopteryx. Although the fine points of bird evolution are hotly debated, one thing is certain, birds evolved from ancient reptiles. Now, do you get what they said in there? Here, analyze this. We don't know how it happened, but just believe it. Isn't that what they're saying here? We don't know how any of this happened. We're debating that, but we're certain it did happen. That's called proof without evidence. Now, when we examine Archaeopteryx, what I want to show you here is those pieces that are not in the textbooks. Why? Because what I'm showing you here is the observational science. And that is not allowed when it comes to evolution. Number one, Archaeopteryx had perching feet. Reptiles do not have perching feet. So the feet were identical to birds. Secondly, the impression of feathers are identical to those modern birds. So there's no evolution of feathers. Either we have scales or we have feathers, nothing in between. Archaeopteryx had perching feet like a bird, had feathers identical to a bird. The cranium is bird-like and not reptile-like. Are you starting to get an idea Archaeopteryx is just a bird? The teeth are typical of bird teeth. Now, some birds do have teeth, and reptiles, some of them have teeth. And you can tell the difference between the two, but Archaeopteryx had teeth identical to birds. Archaeopteryx had claws on its wings, but we have birds today that have claws on their wings. Hoatzin. And the ostrich. And we have found fully formed birds that are millions of years older than Archaeopteryx, according to evolutionist timing. So if there were already birds in existence before Archaeopteryx, why is Archaeopteryx still evolving? This is what is not allowed in the textbooks in this country. Science. They did not fly, folks. Yes, we have the flying reptiles like pterodactyls and pterodons, but those were reptiles. They did not have feathers. Now, if dinosaurs did evolve, if they really evolved, should we find some amazing transitions? Has anybody ever found the Catasaurus? No. How about the bunny cat? Or how about the gator bird? Only in Florida. Or how about the bird dog? Or the tiger deer? Or watch out for this one. This one really does exist, the sheep wolf. Now, we really don't find anything. We can do amazing things with computers. But if dinosaurs really evolved, we should find the thousands and thousands of creatures that led up to them, which we do not find. We don't find anything evolving into dinosaurs. And we don't find any factual dinosaurs evolving into birds. They are only pictures drawn by artists. Now, here's the other idea what happened to the dinosaurs. 65 million years ago, a meteor came down, struck this planet, and all the dinosaurs and many other creatures went extinct. Well, that's an interesting story, but let me show you some questions you can ask about that. Number one, has anybody ever observed a meteor causing mass extinctions? And the answer is no. Therefore, it cannot be called a theory. It is only an unverified hypothesis. See, theories in science must be observable and repeatable and make accurate predictions. None of that has been observed with this meteor impact. Secondly, modern volcanic eruptions do not cause mass extinctions. So why would a meteor? And third, there is very strong empirical evidence dinosaurs have not been dead that long. So be careful of these evolutionist explanations. They are not observed, and there's no evidence they really did happen. So now, were dinosaurs on the ark then? Let's see where they fit in the Bible. We know they were created on day six. People saw them alive. First of all, we know that many dinosaurs could not swim if there's a large flood. But were they on the ark? Well, here's what the Bible teaches. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shall thou bring to the ark. Seven of some, but two of every sort. No, wait a minute. Mike, you're talking about dinosaurs. They were big. How can you fit those large dinosaurs on the ark? They're way too big. Well, let's see what the ark looked like. Is this the ark? No, it is not. That is not what the Bible teaches. But you know, we can use this for a learning tool for our children. It's a great learning tool. We can show them this picture because that's what they're going to see in the world out there. Unfortunately, I see a lot in churches. But then we can turn to the Bible and say, let's see what the Bible teaches about the ark. And it gives the dimensions of the ark. This is more what it looked like. It had the volume of about 520 railroad cars, 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet tall. That's 1.5 football fields. See, when you show them that picture of the bathtub with giraffe heads sticking out, then go to the Bible and show them this is what the Bible teaches. Every time they see that houseboat or that bathtub, they're going to say, that's not what the Bible teaches. And you've done your job, a great teaching tool there. They've learned something called discernment. So how are we going to fit the big ones on there then? Easy. You see, the Bible never teaches God brought the grandma and grandpa creatures to the ark. It never does. All God had to do was bring the young dinosaurs, the young giraffes, the young elephants. The largest dinosaur egg we've ever found was only about twice the size of a football. That means they had to start small too. And again, how many different kinds of dinosaurs? Only about 50 to 100. Plenty of room to put all the creatures on the ark and only fill the ark about halfway. Sea creatures did not have to go in the ark, and neither did insects. Only certain of the land-breathing animals. And when they went on the ark, everything that went on the ark came off the ark. And if you survived that kind of an event, you had to get your T-shirts. I don't think they didn't wear T-shirts, did they? No, they didn't wear T-shirts. So what did happen to the dinosaurs? Well, like many creatures, they died in the flood, but some were on the ark. And also, like many creatures that came off the ark, they slowly became extinct over time. How did that happen? Other creatures may have killed them, people may have killed them, or they may have died from natural causes. As far as we know today, they are all extinct. So we can actually rely on this book called God's Word, the Bible, as our real history book. We have nothing to be afraid of and nothing to be ashamed of. We can trust it from the very beginning to the very end. Now, we do bring some resources. We have some good dinosaur books back there in DVD. We have answers books for children. These are great books. These were questions given by children. And in these books, you learn how to answer your children so they can understand the answer. And then here's a great new apologetics book out, Defending the Christian Faith. Where do our rights come from God or the state? Powerful book, easy to read. Now, got just about a couple minutes. I have a question. Well, Mike, I thought you were going to let us ask. No, I've got the questions, and you must have the answers. Then I'll let you ask a question. Are reptiles today dinosaurs? And you said no, didn't you? And that's exactly right. Right, that's very good. Why not? Because there's an anatomical difference between reptiles today and dinosaurs. Reptiles today have their legs go out and down like this. Dinosaurs had their legs directly underneath them. Because of that difference, we do not classify reptiles today as dinosaurs. They're all reptiles, but the reptiles today are not dinosaurs.